A Wednesday morning, a very good morning to you. Welcome to the show. Today is World AIDS Day, and it's commemorated each year on the 1st of December and is an opportunity for every community to unite in the fight against HIV and to show support for people living with HIV and to remember those who have actually died from this particular disease. This year, the theme is End Inequalities and End AIDS. In fact, this week, UNAIDS issued a stark warning, actually, that if leaders fail to tackle inequalities, the world could face a 7.7 million AIDS-related deaths over the next 10 years. Lori Ackerman-Gulade, UNICEF Regional HIV Advisor, Eastern and Southern Africa, speaks to us this morning on behalf of the organization. A very good morning to you, Lori Ackerman, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Good morning, Zane. It's very nice to be here on World AIDS Day, and I really appreciate the attention that the station and you are giving these issues.
I spoke to the producers, and I say that such a lot of the focus with the pandemic over the last 2 years have taken the actual focus away from AIDS Day. So, Lori, as we reflect on 40 years since the first case was reported, and I couldn't believe that it was 40 years ago, we can't help but be confronted on the impact of the two colliding pandemics, COVID-19 and HIV. And although there's a perception that, at a time of crisis, it is not right to sort of prioritize tackling the underlying social injustices, it is, however, clear that without doing so, the crisis cannot be overcome.
Thanks for the great reflections and question. Let me say, I can't believe that I've been working on health issues for almost those 40 years. Your question is spot on. And let me say that in my view, there is never a wrong time to prioritize the underlying social injustice, because indeed they fuel so many of the inequities in this world. And as you rightly said, the focus of UNICEF's statistical update this year and the new global AIDS strategy are on those inequities. What may be really disturbing to learn is that in our region, among the groups most left behind are children and adolescents who have much lower access to life-saving treatment than adults do. So for us, this is a really critical priority to address in Southern and Eastern Africa. And COVID-19, you're absolutely right, has deepened the crisis. And especially for children, it's the secondary impacts, worsening economies, increasing food insecurity, and school closures. Research shows that for girls being out of school, their risk of getting HIV is higher. And it's no surprise when things like this happen that those who are already marginalized become even more marginalized. So you're absolutely right. The situation is complex. I do believe we can overcome it. But back to you.
Lori, do we have any stats on how many new HIV infections there are in South Africa specifically, or where are the outbreaks at the moment, and what is our status in terms of numbers?
So let me say a little bit about where the numbers come from. UNAIDS puts out very sophisticated modeling estimates that are based on health systems data from countries around the world every year. And then UNICEF does deep dive analysis on children and adolescents. And what we've seen across all age groups is that the trends are going in the right direction. They're just not going fast enough to meet our target of ending AIDS by 2030. So since 2010, globally, new HIV infections have come down about 31%. While in the region of Eastern Southern Africa, which is where I work, they've come down 43%. And in South Africa, they've come down 45%. And this is to be applauded. I mean, this is really good news. However, these kind of big, bare numbers sort of hide the inequities within them. And we really focus on adolescent girls and young women age 15 to 24 when it comes to new infections, because although they account for about 10% of the population, they usually account for about 26 or 27% of the new infections in this region. And as you can well imagine, that is driven by the underlying structural drivers and inequities that you mentioned right at the top.
Chatting this morning to Lori Ackerman-Gulade, UNICEF Regional HIV Advisor, Eastern and Southern Africa. And she chats to us on World AIDS Day as to exactly, where the stats are coming from. And how the stats actually sort of affect, and the good news is that over the past few years in South Africa specifically, 45% is the decline. But we still have inequalities, Laurie, and what basically is driving those inequalities? Is it education? Because, you know, we've had to deal with COVID the last 2 years. And AIDS education has not been at the forefront of a number of things. I think that, you know, during the height of it all, there was a huge fight against it in South Africa, and that is why we were able to achieve slight success. Is it, for instance, access, or is it just basically governments who have not prioritized it?
I think it's fair to say that it's a combination of many things, Zane. And I think education is surely one of them, both for being taught about, you know, life skills and comprehensive sexuality education, but also just the mere fact of staying in school helps to reduce risk. And that is backed up by evidence and research. I mean, the real issue with HIV is that it's a complex epidemic, and it requires far more than a health sector response. So access to service is one thing, and that's on the biomedical side, but also behavioral and structural issues, including education, but also gender, social norms, and other things. So we can't just ask the doctors and nurses to weigh in, as you know, in South Africa. And South Africa has come so far on these issues. And part of that, and I need to mention this, is the engagement of communities, women living with HIV, people living with HIV, young people living with HIV, weighing in and being really active in the response.
Let's expand just basically on the HIV, which is not a very easy virus to defeat. And we've been in that battle for the last 40 years, you know, because although we've come far in scientific advancement, you know, it still exists, Laurie, and it's a shame and a pity that it actually still exists. The stigma, the fear, the ignorance, the discrimination that still exists in this in itself can be as devastating as the, you know, as the illness itself on the infected person, not so.
I think that's absolutely right. I think they do still exist, but I think in places like Southern Africa, we really have to acknowledge, especially on World AIDS Day, how far we've come. And again, I'll refer to the community engagement and activism. Really, activism has taken us so far and taught us about things beyond HIV. Having said that, yes, there's still a long way to go. And I think although the scientific advancements have come far, you know, we still need a vaccine. And we continue to improve the treatment regimens and some of the prevention technologies, but there's more to go in that area. In terms of the behavior, I mean, human behavior and sexual behavior in particular is complex, both to understand and to address and even to measure. And so there's been progress here too, but we all argue that more investment needs to be made in prevention, and much more attention to this area by governments and by partners, by everyone. Finally, are the structural drivers, which we also mentioned earlier. And these include wealth inequity, gender inequity, punitive laws, et cetera. And this is why we say it really requires a whole society approach. But this is not to in any way undermine the progress that has been made so far.
Chatting this morning to Laurie Ackerman, Gilead UNICEF Regional HIV Advisor, Eastern and Southern Africa, speaks to us about AIDS and commemorating AIDS Day, reflecting more on World AIDS Day today, and highlighting the fact that AIDS is still, a virus that we should be very mindful of. And I mean, since 2017, the World Health Organization and several national HIV programs have recommended offering daily oral preventative medication, technically, which is known as pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is PrEP, to pregnant and breastfeeding women at risk of getting HIV. But have there been any other advances, Laurie, in HIV prevention and treatments, or antiretroviral treatments? How far are we advanced on a medical field?
So the treatments have come a long way. I mean, there was a time when there were no treatments, and then there were handfuls of pills that needed to be taken. And with each new iteration, they become easier to take. And this is especially true for children right now. And so in order to close that treatment gap for children, we need all countries to really roll out those new World Health Organization guidelines that have pediatric dolutegravir and other better medications for pregnant women, et cetera. So getting those guidelines enacted and implemented even in the remotest clinics is really important. In addition to the PrEP tablets, there are also new ways that PrEP can be taken, including the vaginal ring. And we need to learn from what we've done so far and offer these new technologies, first of all, rapidly and across the globe, and second of all, in a way that is informative and empowering, and that is really relevant to the needs of the populations that we're serving. If I can just have a minute to speak about PrEP during pregnancy, this is an exciting additional tool to add. We have learned from the data that many women, in fact, convert to HIV positive during pregnancy or breastfeeding, which puts both them and their babies at risk. So PrEP can really help. Also testing their partners and making sure if their partners have HIV, they're on treatment. But it really must be offered with counseling, informed consent, and clinical monitoring to make sure that it's effective and having the desired impact.
I think the key thing, and I, you know, eventually somehow or other we lost sight of it, is actually the pre-counseling and post-counseling when somebody is being tested or have been tested for HIV and comes out HIV positive. We also seem to forget that everyone sexually active is still at risk of contracting HIV, isn't it?
So both are true. I think when one imagines being told that they're HIV positive, or when one has experienced that, the counseling is just incredibly important. And for young women in this region, they often find out that they are pregnant and living with HIV on the same day. So the counseling and the support, including from peers, is really important. So in principle, yes, everyone who has sex is at risk of contracting HIV. But one of the things that, but the level of risk varies, right? And one of the things that we work on at UNICEF is to work with adolescents and young people to improve their awareness of their own risk, as well as making decisions that are good for their health. And once they clearly understand their risk and what they can do to protect them, then they become much more empowered to avoid an HIV infection. We're also working on things to help health workers to identify people who may be at higher risk of getting HIV. But of course, again, with the stigma you mentioned earlier, these have to be offered in a way that's supportive, non-judgmental, et cetera. Risk is a really important thing for us to learn more about and have more tools to assess and help address.
So I'm coming up almost 9:30 and we're chatting to the Regional Advisor for HIV in Eastern and Southern Africa at UNICEF South Africa, Laurie Ackerman-Gouled. Laurie, is it possible to see an end to AIDS in the year 2030, or is it going to take a lot longer?
So as you know, AIDS is the manifestation of HIV as an illness. And I want to say with confidence that yes, in fact, we can end AIDS as a public health threat by 2030. And that really is saying only if we do it right. And that includes empowered communities and people living with HIV that are really at the forefront of the response, and also doing it not as a separate activity, but as part and parcel of building a stronger and more resilient primary health care system, and address it, to come full circle, addressing those very rights deprivations, rights violations, and inequities that you mentioned right at the beginning.
Chatting there this morning to Laurie Ackerman-Gouled, thank you so much for your time, and reflecting this morning on the 1st of December, which is World AIDS Day. If you any comments on this conversation, you can give us a call on 0214460567 and on the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Have we forgotten about it? Have we not been mindful about it? Because, I mean, there is the clash of two pandemics. AIDS is a virus as well as COVID-19, which is a virus. And obviously, you know, the two have had a clash, and we've put a lot more emphasis on COVID-19 in the last 2 years. And I think we need to probably have a look at it balanced going forward within 2022. 9:30 this morning.